Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Tuesday, February the 17th. A very good morning to you and welcome to this edition of Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, the Central African regional body ECOWAS meets in Cameroon to seek a solution to the growing Boko Haram insurgency.
Boko Haram ne lésine sur aucun moyen.
Boko Haram is using all barbaric means against the people. There is a need for solidarity and an appropriate response to eradicate this group, which is out to destabilize the entire region.
And the European Union resumes development aid to Zimbabwe, but some sanctions are still in place.
I'm calling upon the lifting of sanctions against our president and against the first lady.
Those stories and more coming up in the next 25 minutes. Stay with us.
Top story.
Leaders of the Central African body ECOWAS met on Monday to try and find a solution to the growing Boko Haram insurgency in the region. At a meeting in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé, leaders agreed to create a special fund to support countries hit by the violence. ECOWAS leaders have estimated they need $100 million to back a regional mission against the militant group. It's not yet clear where that money will come from. Moki Kinseka reports.
The regional body ECOWAS has agreed to raise 50% of $100 million, which they said they need to combat the Nigerian Islamist group Boko Haram. The communique that sanctioned the meeting called for the creation of an emergency fund to raise the remaining amount. The leaders, however, did not state how they plan to raise the remaining amount. Idris Deby is chairman of ECOWAS.
It is very difficult for our state to face this scourge in an isolated manner. So I invite all states that have not been touched by this terrorism to be very careful and show solidarity with affected countries. We also invite the international community to bring its material, diplomatic, financial and logistical support to combat Boko Haram.
Pour combattre Boko Haram.
But an attempt to face the Islamists will require the blessings of the United Nations Security Council. Hence, Central African leaders called on the Council to approve a multinational joint force to fight the insurgents. The Secretary General of the Economic Community of Central African States, Ahmad Alam Mi, said they are still pleading for international support.
Boko Haram ne lésine sur aucun moyen.
Boko Haram is using all barbaric means against the people. They have all sophisticated military weapons and human resources for a conventional army, but they use asymmetric methods that make the battle complex and very expensive. There is a need for solidarity and an appropriate response to eradicate this group, which is out to destabilize the entire region.
Qui menace de déstabiliser toute la sous-région.
Even conflict-ravaged Burundi and Central African Republic, CAR, announced they will contribute troops to the joint task force. CAR's Foreign Affairs Minister, Toussaint Kongo Dudu, said his country will support Cameroon and Chad, even though they are in a civil crisis.
If Boko Haram goes through Cameroon, it will be a total disaster for Central African Republic. Fighting against Boko Haram means strengthening our capacity to resolve the political crisis and the security crisis back home in Central African Republic. And we are willing to select part of our national defense forces that can join and support. So Cameroon is not alone. We stand behind Cameroon.
As the Central African leaders meet in Yaoundé, Boko Haram carried out another attack on Marwa, a town on the Cameroonian border to Nigeria. This indicates the need for a rapid response against the Nigerian militants.
Maki Kinseka reporting. The Nigerian army has said it has recaptured two key towns in the northeast of the country. Monguno and Barte were seized by Boko Haram fighters last month in a series of attacks on the outskirts of Maiduguri, capital of Borno State. Chad, Niger and Cameroon have begun a joint offensive against the militants, as we've been hearing. But can this regional effort succeed without more political will in Nigeria? Abubakar Jalu put that question to Elizabeth Donnelly, expert on Nigeria at Chatham House in the UK.
Clearly, because it has gotten worse and there have been problems in responding to it, and one of the arguments has indeed been that actually in many ways this is a peripheral issue. This area is far away from Abuja, and that actually because one of the arguments for failed military offensives is that they haven't had the resources or personnel necessary, and that the reason for that is a lack of political will regarding this. However, you have seen more recently the reason given for the postponement of Nigeria's elections was a new offensive against Boko Haram.
President Goodluck Jonathan does need bipartisan support to win the fight against Boko Haram. Why is he not reaching out to opposition parties with strong support in the areas held by the insurgents?
Now, you've seen allegations by both of the main political parties in Nigeria against the other regarding either inaction on Boko Haram or, in fact, support to Boko Haram, allegations of links and so on. So this has become somewhat politicized. It is not simply a narrow security crisis. What this means is that bipartisan support becomes much more complex.
Will the Nigerian government succeed in eliminating Boko Haram within the 6-week deadline it has set for itself?
There is no way that Boko Haram can be destroyed in 6 weeks. Far from it. Even if there is a strong, strategic and well-led offensive against the organization, it covers such territory now that it would be very difficult to reach all of the members. Furthermore, in the face of a strong military offensive, and this includes from regional partners, you are likely to see a scattering of members into neighboring countries and beyond, and also within Nigeria.
The insurgents attacked the city of Gombe, and there was also another suicide bomber that blew herself up in Damaturu. Boko Haram launched another attack in Cameroon, and Niger is also preparing to launch another offensive against Boko Haram. It's actually very fluid, isn't it?
Cameroon, that there have been attacks since last year indeed, but now with Chad and Niger entering this fight more actively as well, you are starting to see that it is taking on these more regional characteristics.
The Islamists have released a statement today warning Chad and other regional countries to not take part, otherwise they will see the dark side of this conflict. But with their recent attacks in small towns in those neighbouring countries, is it sort of provoking a regional response?
Because of the new attention that it's getting and because of the threat now of Chad troops entering this fight, it may be seeking to sound, in fact, more on the offensive. This might suggest that it is starting to feel somewhat squeezed. But what the coming weeks are really going to show is the real capacity of Boko Haram.
That was Elizabeth Donnelly from Chatham House talking to Abubakar Jalou.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
The European Union has resumed development assistance to Zimbabwe. On Monday, the 28-member bloc signed a $270 million aid package for the Southern African nation. Relations between the EU and Zimbabwe turned sour after elections in 2002, which observers say were rigged to give victory to President Robert Mugabe. The EU then imposed sanctions on Mugabe and his inner circle. In recent years, restrictions on some senior officials have been lifted. The new package is designed to support sectors which have been hit badly in Zimbabwe's economic downturn. Columbus Mapunga reports.
The $270 million aid package will be used to fund what the EU said were three key sectors, namely health, agriculture and governance. The European Union had stopped providing development aid to Zimbabwe in 2002 following reports of human rights abuses by President Robert Mugabe's government. Here is the EU ambassador to Zimbabwe, Philippe van Dem, at the signing ceremony in Harare on Monday.
We may not always have been in agreement, but the will and the commitment have always been there to search for common strategies. We may sometimes diverge in opinion and vision, but those divergences can be overcome through real, open and frank dialogue.
The development assistance to Zimbabwe funds would be channeled through EU agencies such as UNICEF and Food and Agriculture Organization. Until the Monday event, assistance to Zimbabwe had been confined to ease the country's humanitarian crisis, which has hit the southern African country for over a decade. In November last year, the EU said conditions in Zimbabwe had improved, paving the way to lift sanctions. However, President Robert Mugabe and his wife remain on the travel ban to all EU member states. At the signing ceremony on Monday, Patrick Chinamasa, Zimbabwe's Minister of Finance, pleaded with Brussels to change its stance on the soon-to-be 91-year-old leader.
The European Union is saying to us, ministers and others, yes, you can visit us, but don't bring your father. That is not our relation. So I am calling upon the lifting of sanctions against our president and against the First Lady, so that we can seriously engage in dialogue that will lead to full normalization of relations.
It remains to be seen if the appeal will receive a positive response when EU meets over the issue later this month. Last year, Mugabe snubbed a special invitation extended to him to attend an EU-Africa summit in Brussels after his wife was denied a visa to travel with him. EU defended the move, saying First Lady Grace Mugabe had no business in Belgium since she was not a head of state. The scenario might have to change now that Mugabe chairs both the African Union and the Southern African Development Community. The EU might have to invite both Mugabe and his wife.
Columbus Mafunga in Harare.
Africa on the move.
And in Africa on the Move this week, we look at business on the move. Now, doing business in Africa can involve surmounting numerous obstacles. However, a mobile app is poised to offer help. Global economic service provider KPMG has created an app that will provide business players in Africa with the latest information on the economic environment across the continent. From Johannesburg, Tuzo Kamalo reports.
Searching through various websites for business data, investment and clientele information in Africa may now be a thing of the past. KPMG Global Africa, an international network of member firms offering audit, tax and advisory services, has developed an app that is set to be a one-stop shop for all business researches in Africa. The app provides current information on each African country's profile, fiscal information, geopolitical climate, and economic performance. Yelena Kuken-Salik, Market Extension Manager for the Global Africa Practice at KPMG, describes the app as a business tool provided in a unique and highly interactive way.
As experts in Africa and Africa consulting, KPMG has decided to make freely available information to anybody looking to do business in Africa and make it easier for anybody to access any Africa business information.
She says once the app is installed in one's mobile device, a click of a button gives you the entire business climate of any African country of choice at no cost.
If you want fiscal guides, you click on fiscal guides. If you want country reports, click on country reports. If you're looking at any sort of thought leadership or insight into a particular sector, you would click on publications and insights, and you would actually access specific sector reports or specific surveys that KPMG has done in that particular sphere.
And Gilbert Ngandu, a South African-based young software developer from the Democratic Republic of Congo, is impressed by Africa's progress in software development.
I'm very positive. Access to technology is becoming very easy and very cheap for us. So I guess more people will have an opportunity to learn software development and to create a unique application for African, and that could really help Africa to grow.
Where one does not get all answers from their search, the app provides a KPMG client talk service. Kuken says this service provides a link to contacts of the firm's experts, who will then provide advice on all matters involving business and investing.
All the reports, all the live conversations, all the surveys, all the fiscal guides, all the stats about a country, it's all in one place. So you don't have to go on the net and try and search who knows where information that you might need that might take you like hours. This is everything in one spot.
The app also has an Osage news section that provides the latest business news from Africa. A person is also able to access live insights on key issues affecting business in Africa by joining the conversation on the Africa blog, also provided by the app. One can also get information on key events taking place within the continent and abroad. And Kuken says this app is proof that Africa is really on the move.
Tuzo Kamalo in Johannesburg. While lawmakers in Malawi meet to revise the national budget, President Peter Mutharika has been sounding the alarm. He told the World Bank that Malawi is in desperate need of outside financial help. Usually, Malawi funds 60% of its economy itself, with donors supplying the remaining 40%. But those donors froze their aid after an independent audit revealed that $30 million had disappeared from the $150 million fund that donors had set up for the 2013 budget. Mutharika's warning comes at a difficult time for many Malawians who are still suffering from the effects of severe flooding. George Mahango reports from Blantyre.
While meeting the directors from the World Bank in Lilongwe, Mutharika said Malawi is doing its best to implement reforms on how best to manage public and donor funds to avoid what happened in 2013 during President Joyce Banda's rule. Since then, the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, IMF, and other donors such as the US, Britain, and Germany suspended direct aid to Malawi. But because of the destruction caused by recent floods, the government hopes that lending institutions will step in and provide Malawi with much-needed funds.
We reckon that with the destruction that took place because of the floods, I think we'll probably need about 1 billion. To rebuild this country. And we hope that because of that, there will be a return of some of the support that we need.
According to recent budget documents, donors used to contribute between 40% to the national budget. But with the suspension, government is finding it hard to meet some of the public demands, hence the president's call on World Bank. The World Bank team that met the president, led by Alinta Smith, said the bank was ready to resume aid to Malawi once financial management systems are tightened to avoid abuse of funds.
The Honourable Minister of Finance has made it very clear that public financial management is a high priority for him. And I think that's he's taking the right actions. And the World Bank is here to support in any way we can that kind of capacity building and that improvement in the public financial management system.
Public has welcomed Mutharika's gesture of calling on the World Bank and other donor agencies to resume aid.
It would be a very good move if we got assistance, and if the money was to come in the country, it would be a very good idea if the money was distributed wisely instead of just keeping it to themselves.
But we should also make sure that our government is accountable for any kwacha that is in its purse when it's dispersing to various departments of its operations.
It is yet to be seen whether the World Bank would really resume aid so that the country could able to deal with challenges, especially in the health sector.
George Mahango reporting.
Making a difference.
In Ghana, discussing sex is considered a taboo. Parents do not generally engage in such discussions with their adolescent children. But a young man in Tamale, northern Ghana, has launched a campaign to break this taboo. He calls his campaign My World, My Life, and he works with teachers, teenagers and parents. Max Forsook has his story.
It is break time at Ridge Primary School in Tamale, and children are playing ampe under a big mango tree, a popular game for young girls in Ghana. Mother, mother, do something before you die. These are the lyrics of their song. As they play this seemingly harmless children's game, many of the adolescents are battling with feelings of insecurity and confusion. Normal feelings for young teenagers. One of them is a 14-year-old girl. She doesn't want to talk to her parents about her feelings, but she did speak to me.
I always keep it to myself because I feel shy to tell my mother. When I was young, I don't feel shy. I don't feel anything in me. But now that I've grown up, I just feel some strange things in me. I keep it to myself. Anytime that happens, I can't think very well. I'll just be confused.
It is not a taboo for parents to guide their children through such moments. However, in most families in Tamale, children do not talk to their parents the way that young girl just did. This is where Stephen Agbanyo steps in. His campaign, My World, My Life, is a course model now being implemented in selected schools across northern Ghana.
My World, My Life has been implemented in other countries, and we saw that there is a lot of value in it. How can we contextualize it and then have it for our Ghanaian society?
The course is based on a 14-chapter manual designed for teachers in upper primary schools to use in addition to the regular curriculum. Students and teachers meet during free periods to talk in a more relaxed atmosphere. Stephen and his colleagues say this is a time when peer influence can play a big role.
What we have been doing is to engage not just the schools directly, but also engaging the parents to sensitize them to understand that, see, this is the reality. So it is either you support us or we have our children ending up where they should not end.
Mahama Idrisu is a youth chief living in Tamale. His underage daughter got pregnant and dropped out of school.
We never allowed our children to discuss those things with us. Now it is paining me that my daughter has stopped school due to pregnancy. I am regretting.
However, there are still adults who are opposed to parent-child sex education. Asana Fushini is a housewife in Tamale.
It is wrong to give your children a sex education early on. Some children will want to practice that, so I don't support teaching them.
And that report was compiled by Max Forsook. Before we leave you, a reminder of our main stories. Leaders of the Central African body ECOWAS have been meeting in the Cameroonian capital Yaoundé to seek a solution to the growing Boko Haram insurgency. The European Union has resumed development assistance to Zimbabwe, signing a $270 million aid package to boost the agriculture and health sectors. And we've also been hearing about a mobile app for the African business community. We welcome your comments on this programme. Do send us a text message. You can send it to country code 49160 957 59510 and email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. That's Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. From me, Mark Caldwell, thank you for listening and bye now.